Amen. Thank you, Sister Abby. Well, tonight we have a visiting preacher with us, and the pastor has asked him if he would bring the message. So, Brother Matthew Frank, if you'll make your way right on up here, he's going to come up here and preach to us. If you would tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what you're doing, what's going on, and then if bring the message, be greatly appreciated. You want to show the video first? Okay. Do y'all have that video ready? Amen. All right, we'll go ahead and look at that first.
Did you know that in New England, there are over 80 local, state, and federal facilities with over 50,000 people incarcerated inside of them? Of the over 50,000 people, over 1,200 of them will never be able to walk into church again. Who is going to tell them about the love that Jesus has for them? Did you know that in New England, there are over 2 million students in over 4,700 schools? Who is going to teach them about true character and the love that Christ has shown to us?
Hello, my name is Matthew, and we are the Frank family, and we've answered the call to do what we can to reach New England for Christ. Growing up in a preacher's home, I never knew of a time when we weren't in church, but it wasn't until I was 16 years old that I saw myself as a lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner in need of a Savior. June 25th, 2002, at an old-fashioned altar, I called on Jesus to be that Savior that I needed. On August the 12th, 2002, I surrendered to the call to preach, and on September the 21st, 2012, I married the love of my life, Hannah. Since then, God has blessed us with two beautiful children, Titus and Savannah. After serving in our local church together for several years, God began to work in our hearts to serve with Rock of Ages to reach the prisoners and students of New England for Christ.
Hi, my name is Hannah. I grew up in a Christian home and served with my parents on the mission field in Papua New Guinea. At the age of 17, my father preached on having real joy, and I realized I didn't possess the joy that Christ gives. It was on that Sunday I went forward and accepted Christ as my Savior and received that everlasting joy that only Christ gives.
It is a great joy and privilege to recommend to you the Frank family with the Rock of Ages Ministries. We've known them for a couple years, even before they moved up here to New Hampshire to be part of Granite State Baptist Church. There's a tremendous need across this region in the prisons and in the schools for someone to take the gospel to them. We wholeheartedly recommend them to your ministry and ask that you would prayerfully consider going with them to volunteer in the prisons and schools, and also to financially partner with them as they endeavor to reach New England for the cause of Christ.
I want to thank you for taking the time to see our burden for New England. I would ask that you do three things for us. Number one, pray for us. Pray that God would continue to protect us, provide for us, and open doors for us here in New England. Number two, participate with us. As doors continue to open in New England, we are going to need more laborers for Christ's work. Come join us as we labor for Christ in the schools and prisons of New England. Number three, partner with us financially each month as we do what we can to reach New England for Christ.
Would you help us reach New England for Christ?
Everybody glad you're saved this evening. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glad to be in God's house with you. Appreciate you being here. I'm a little bit taller than the last guy. I moved this up just a hair. Sorry, brother. Sorry. My bad. Anyways, moving on. As you saw in the video, my name is Matthew Frank. My wife, Hannah, who I've watched some of y'all try to figure out who she is. That is Hannah Andrews. She used to go to college here several years ago, and then she left and moved up to Georgia, where we got married her third year of college, and she finished Bible college up there. But I appreciate the wife the Lord's given to me. We are working with Rock of Ages, working out of Granite State Baptist Church there in New Hampshire. Been there for a couple years now. Now, how many of y'all's figured out that I'm not originally from New Hampshire? Hey, I'm originally from Georgia, born and raised in Georgia. Honestly thought when I died, I'd be Georgia dead. Amen. But God saw different. God gave us the opportunity to be able to serve him, the privilege to be able to serve him there in the New England states. Right now, we're currently working in five different facilities. Three of those are weekly facilities. Two of those are at least once a month. We've got opportunities to be able to get into two other facilities. Right now, I'm still waiting on clearance to get into those other two facilities. But those will be at least a once a month, if not a twice a month facility. Right now, I actually get to be in prison every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of my life. And I never thought that Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, every week of my life. I never thought that I'd say, hey, I get to go to prison. And you got to be careful who you say that around, because sometimes they look at you like, you're doing what? There's a gas station that I stop at every time I go up to preach in Berlin, New Hampshire. I got to remember Berlin's over in Germany, Berlin's in New Hampshire. But I go up there and I stop at this gas station every time to grab a bottle of water. And the guy always looks at me, and he's learned by now. He always asks me, he says, man, you're dressed up nice, because I got on just what I got on right now. He always looks at me and says, man, you're dressed up pretty nice for a Saturday evening. I said, yeah, I'm going to prison. And he always is like, huh? But anyways, I appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve God. Here's the thing. When I was 18 years old, I had the opportunity to get a position with the Whitfield County Sheriff's Department there in Dalton, Georgia, where I was from. And the sheriff of our town told me, he said, now listen, he said, all you need to do is fill out the application. I'll take care of the rest. You've got a job. Now, my dream as a 18-year-old high school graduate, my dream was to be a DEA agent. That was my dream. That's what I wanted with my life. I ate, breathed, read, bled, all that. Everything was blue about me, except for my voting color. But anyways, I don't know where that came from. Anyways, moving on. But I love law enforcement. And the Lord called me to preach at the age of 16 years old, and God began to work in my heart after I graduated high school, and I started putting in the application for the Whitfield County Sheriff's Department. I was going to work in the jail for 3 years. And then the sheriff had already told us, said, listen, you have to work in the jail for 3 years till you're 21. We'll send you to post school, get you certified, and we'll put you out on the road as a deputy. That was the first step. That's how I got to my dream. And I went to fill out that application, and they had just, this is back 2005, and every time I say that, I feel old. I know I'm not as old as some, but anyways, 17 years ago was a long time for me, all right? But I remember putting in that application, and I went to hit apply, and the Holy Spirit of God said, I didn't call you to go work in corrections. I called you to preach. At 16 years old, God saved me. A month and a half later, he called me to preach. August the 12th this year, it'll be 20 years since the Lord called me to preach. And I remember making a decision that night that regardless what happened, I was going to be the best preacher God can. I was going to be the best preacher that God would allow me to be. I've not always been there. I've not always done that. I've not always been the best, but I have always tried. And if you, my pastor at the time, I got a new pastor my senior year of high school, and the pastor that I had previously, he was an older gentleman, and I was typically preaching anywhere from 3 to 4 times a month in my home church, and the new pastor walked in, and he said, "Now listen," he said, "I love you, but you're not preaching here that often." And I said, "What?" I didn't know what to say. He said, "But if you're really called to preach, you'll find yourself a place to preach." I said, "All right." So I did. I went and found me a jail cell, found me a nursing home, I found me a street corner, and I was preaching most months more than he was. But here's the thing, God put a love for the prisoner even then back in my heart. I preached every Monday night in a county jail there in our hometown. You said, "Preacher, what did that do?" That let me get some of the duh out of my system before God could really use me to be able to minister to other people. Let me go pastor for a couple years. Now we've been with Rock of Ages for coming up on 5 years now. God's doing a work in New England. We're in 3 different schools. We're in 5 different facilities. And Brother Danny, I don't mean to call you out from the pulpit, forgive me. But Brother Danny can tell you, here in the South, you call and say, "Hey, I'm with Rock of Ages," and okay, when do you want to come? In New England, it's not like that. In New England, you call and I say, "Hey, my name's Matthew Frank. I'm with Rock of Ages. I'd like to come hold a Bible study at your facility." And they're like, "You're with who?" "Oh, I'm with Rock of Ages. Who is that?" So it's Brother Danny's already kind of plowed some of that ground up, but then we've had to come behind and kind of plow some more and begin to work, and God's opening up doors for us. But I would ask that you continue to pray. Pray that God would continue to touch and bless, raise up laborers. I'm praying for some big things in New England, and I know that I serve a big God. If you happen to see, and please don't hold it against me if you do, but if you happen to see a big black Suburban driving through, and if it cuts you off, forgive me, you was probably driving too slow, but the tag on it will say "Dream Big," all right? That's my motto. Why? Because we serve a mighty big God. And we're so limited sometimes by the fact that I don't know that God could do that. Well, I don't know that God would do that. Well, when's the last time you tried it? I look around and I see this auditorium and I see the large facility that you have here, and not just here, but all the way down the block, the college and the school and all the different facilities that you own here. Here's the thing. You know how that started? Somebody had a dream. And somebody said, "You know what? I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to try it. I don't know if God will, but we're going to work like everything depends on us, and we're going to pray like everything depends on God." I want you to take your Bibles, go with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 5. Luke, chapter number 5. I want to just give you a thought from the Word of God this evening and challenge us from the Word of God, if I may. I would ask that you continue to pray for us, that God will continue to protect us, provide for us. We're in the middle of an 18-day trip right now. I'm ready to go back home already. And I ain't been gone but about, I ain't even been gone a week yet. And I'm ready to go home, all right? So y'all pray that God would continue to protect us and provide us for us as we drive up and down the roads, and continue to take care of us as we drive. Luke chapter number 5, if you found your place, you're willing and able, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Luke chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the Word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught.' Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net.' When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and the opportunity that you've given me to stand and preach your blessed word. Lord, I count it an honor and a privilege to stand where so many great men have stood before. Lord, I pray that you'd touch these lips of clay. Lord, you know the frailty of my body. Lord, you know how nervous and just anxious I am. But Lord, I pray that you'd calm my nerves. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach like I've never preached before. Lord, I pray that you give me that anointing and that feeling of the Holy One that I so desperately stand in need of to be able to preach your word. Lord, put a watch care about my mouth. Help me not to do or say anything that will grieve or quench your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray you'd help me to do and say everything that you want said and done for your honor and your glory. Lord, I pray that you'd help us not to leave here the same way that we came in, but Lord, you'd help us to leave here being challenged by the word of God and changed by the Spirit of God. Lord, not because I'm a great preacher, but Lord, because we serve a great God and you're in the miracle working business. And Lord, you can change us for time and for eternity if we'll just allow you to. Lord, I pray you'd help us this evening. Lord, if there's one lost soul here this evening, Lord, I pray that you'd save them upon the terms of the gospel. Bring that backslider back to you. We'll thank you and we'll praise you, for it's in your Son's holy, wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Here in Luke chapter number 5, I just want to give you four different things by way of introduction, and then we'll get into the message this evening. If you look in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." I want you to notice, number one, just by way of introduction, the pressing for the scriptures. They wasn't pressing to hear what his thoughts were. They weren't pressing to hear, no misunderstanding, he was the word of God, but they weren't pressing to hear what his latest political opinion was, his latest thoughts on the things that were going on in the world was. They were pressing upon him to hear the word of God. When I come to church, I don't come to hear what people think about things. I come to hear the word of God preached. Amen. I don't come to see somebody get up and just take a book and go through a book and talk about what's in the book. No, I want you to talk about the book. I want you to talk about the word of God, and I want you to open the Bible, begin to preach the word of God to my soul, because here's the thing. That's what's going to help me. That's what's going to help my family. That's what's going to help you. That's what's going to help this country. That's what's going to help us in this walk of life is the word of God. So we see the pressing for the scriptures. But then in number 2, we see in verse number 2, the process that stopped. Verse number 2, look at what he said. "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets." We see a process that stopped. You say, "Preacher, what's so important about this process?" Well, as you may know, these nets, these were commercial fishermen, and they took their nets every day after they got done, and they washed them, and they mended any rips in them, and they mended any tears in them, and they hung them out to dry. Why? So that way they did not begin to rot, because here's the thing, if a net begins to rot, guess what? When you put it to the test, it's going to break. Can I be honest with you this evening? In our society nowadays, I'm afraid that we got a lot of Christians that haven't been washing their nets, and they haven't allowed the Holy Spirit of God to wash them from the inside out, so that way, they, whenever it comes time to be tested, they stand the test. Nowadays, we've got people that if they get the least little bit of storm come in their line, they break and they get out of church and they give up on God and they say, "God isn't helping me." No, God tried to help you. You just didn't let him help you. We see the process that stopped. Let me move quickly. Number 3, the preaching from the ship. Verse number 3, the Bible says, "And when he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now, here's the thing. Jesus, I don't know how you read scripture, but when I read scripture, I see scripture live and in color and in 3D. And when I see Jesus beginning to preach the word of God, beginning to teach from the ship, I can see Jesus as he pulls up a chair and he sits down in the chair and he begins to teach them the blessed word of God, and he begins to thunder it with authority, and he begins to tell them, "This is what the Bible says. This is what the word of God says." And he preaches to them the word of God. Amen. Now, here's the thing. I'm a little bit different a preacher than you might be, and you might be a different preacher than I am. I am an acquired taste. I realize that. But here's the thing. When a man of God gets behind the sacred desk, he ought to preach with authority. Can I run a rabbit real quick? I hope y'all don't get upset with me. There's a reason I bring my Bible to the pulpit every time. Why? This is where my authority to preach comes from. It doesn't come from an iPad. It doesn't come from a tablet. Preacher, I've got my Bible on that. So do I. But I still bring my Bible to the pulpit. Why? Because that's the Word of God. That's my authority. That's what we're preaching from this evening. That's what we still stand upon. That's where we get our authority. We see the preaching from the ship. Number four, go with me to verse number four. The Bible says, now when he, talking about Jesus, had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for the draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. When they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Simon, at this point, Jesus has taken over his boat. And Simon, at this point, is not a disciple yet. He's not a full-time Christian servant. At this point, Simon is still a commercial fisherman. So guess what Simon depends upon to pay his bills? He depends upon his boat, and he depends upon his nets, and he depends upon the fishes that's in those boats and in those nets, right? But Jesus has commandeered his boat, for lack of a better word. Now, I titled this one, The Paying of the Salary. So, preacher, why is that? Because Jesus has just taken his ship, he's just taken his nets, and he's told him, said, I want you to thrust out a little bit from the shore, and I'm going to take over your boat. I wrote this down in my notes that way I made sure that I didn't say it. Simon had worked all night in verse number 5, but had caught nothing. But Jesus is going to pay a bill, or going to pay his bills. He is a debtor to no man. The day that we left my full-time job, as a matter of fact, it was 4 years ago this past Monday, I believe it was, or this past Sunday, 4 years ago, I walked out of my public job for the last time, and I still remember Brother Danny thinking to myself, Lord, you called me, now you got to pay my bills. And I remember telling my boss, my supervisor at the time, she said, how are you going to pay your bills? I said, well, I'm going to go preach at different churches and I'm going to go preach in prisons. And she said, well, how are you going to pay your bills? I said, I'm not, God is. And she looked at me and said, huh? And then she went and told her supervisor, and she said, you got to go talk to Matthew. I think he's crazy. She said, Matthew said he's going to go preach in prison and that God's going to pay his bills. And sure enough, about 5 minutes later, she come by. She said, what's this? Melissa's telling me you're going to... I done knocked it in the floor now. I'll get it in a minute, all right? That don't make y'all nervous, does it? Because it don't me, all right? But here's there's a lid on it, all right? But she, sure enough, Amy come by just a few minutes later. She said, Matthew, she said, Melissa told me that you're going to go preach in prison and that God's going to pay your bills. Is that true? I said, yes, ma'am, it is. And you know what I've watched God do for 4 years now? I've watched God pay my bills. On time, every time. Why? Because God is not a debtor to no man. Can I give you this real quickly? Look at verse number 5, and you've probably seen this before, and this is nothing new to you. But whenever I seen this a couple years ago, it struck me. I want you to look at verse number 4. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now, nets means two or more, right? Now go to verse number 5. The last phrase. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I'm not an English major. If you haven't figured that out by me talking, here it is. I'm not an English major, all right? But the last time I checked, if it has an S on it, that means it's a plural. If it doesn't have an S on it, it means it's singular. Peter was told to let down the nets, but he only let down the net. Can I give you this thought real quickly from the Word of God on this simple thought, missing the blessings of God. Yeah. missing the blessing of God. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Well, here's the thing. I mentioned about this place and the facilities that's here and the facilities that's all around here. And it started out with someone saying, you know what? I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to dream big and we're going to trust God that God's going to do this. Well, guess what? That had to start with a command. And that's exactly where Peter started at. He was given a command first off to thrust out in verse number 4 or verse number 3. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would what? Thrust out a little. God doesn't ask for big things right off, does he? You know what he does? He tests us. It was a test of my faith just to become a missionary, if I'm just being real honest. But then Jesus doesn't stop there. He said, I want you to thrust out a little. But now I want you to go to verse number 4, and I want you to launch out into the deep. And now I want you know those nets you just got done cleaning and fixing and hanging up to dry? I want you to let them back down again. There's a command that's given here. Here's the thing. Launch out, it's to move or cause to slide from the land into the water as to launch a ship. So here's the thing. He says, I want you to launch out in the deep, and then I want you to let down your nets. This thing just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. You remember over Genesis 22, whenever God told Abraham at the time, he said, I want you to take your son, okay, thine only son, okay, whom thou lovest. What does God keep doing? He just keeps making it bigger and bigger and bigger. Why? Because God is wanting to try him and wanting to see just how far he's willing to go. And here's the thing. God will do the same thing to us. And he'll say, now listen, I want you to try this. Maybe it's, I want you to go teach a Sunday school class for a little while. I want you to go work a bus route. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. Here's the thing. You know what I started out doing? I started out cleaning bathrooms. But I'm firmly convinced this evening, if I hadn't been willing to trust God and clean bathrooms, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. Amen. What does the Bible say? He that is faithful in the little things. Right. Here's the thing. If you won't run a vacuum cleaner in the house of God, chances are you probably ain't going to preach in a pulpit. Yeah. If you won't clean a toilet every once in a while, chances are you ain't going to be in the spotlight. Now, here's the thing. I don't like the spotlight, all right? I love New England. Nobody knows where I'm at up there. Nobody knows my name. Don't nobody come up there from Rockaway. I love it up there. Why? Here's the thing. I'm just up there in my own little pea patch, but before I could ever get up there in my own little pea patch, that's a good Southern phrase for you, before I could ever get up there, I had to be willing to clean a bathroom. I had to be willing to sweep a kitchen. I had to be willing to run a vacuum. I had to be willing to do all kinds of different things. Why? Because God was testing me. If you won't be faithful in the little things, if you won't trust God with the little thing, how can he trust you with the big things? We see the command. Can I give you number 2, the contrariness of Simon? Simon had to have been a Baptist. And not just a Baptist, he had to be a stodgy, independent, fundamental, premillennial, King James Bible, sin-hating, Bible-believing Baptist. Say, preacher, how do you know? Because look at how contrary he is. Look at verse 5. And Simon said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I told y'all, when I read scripture, I see it live and in color and in, I'm there. When I see Simon doing this, y'all forgive me, but I see Simon doing this. Now, Lord, you know we toiled all night and we ain't taking nothing. But since you're God in everything, I'll let down the net. You say, preacher, did it happen that way? I don't know, and you don't either, all right? But here's the thing. Simon said, you know what? We've told all night. Lord, we've worked and we've worked and we've worked. They've put in at least a full 8 to 10 hours work. And they've taken, and here's the thing. Those nets, they wasn't little neither. I mean, the smallest one that I can find was a circular net, and it was 25 feet in diameter. Those boats was 23 foot wide and 7 foot long, or 23 foot long, 7 foot wide, and those men, they're throwing those nets out over and over and over, and here's the thing, that ain't easy work. But he said, Master, we've toiled all night, and we ain't got nothing to show for it. You ever worked all day long, you ain't got nothing to show for it at the end of the day? You look back at the end of the day and think, what in the world did I do today? Y'all probably better than I am. I've gotten down to the end of the day, and my wife will say, well, what'd you get done today? I don't know. I know I worked. Just don't know if I got anything done. Do you know what the Bible said? He said, Master, we've told all night. We've taken nothing. And then I see the piety of it. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, you got to understand something. Peter is a commercial fisherman. And this Lake of Gennesaret that it talks about in verse number 1, it's also the Sea of Galilee. They're one and the same. And it was well known that you didn't catch fish out in the deep water during the day. You caught them in the shallow water at night. And Peter said, okay, Lord, you know better than I do, so I'm going to let down the net. And I want you to look, not just the command, the contrariness, but verse 6 and verse 7, we see the catch that took place. The Bible says in verse number 6, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net broke. Said, preacher, they caught fish. Yeah, but how many did they lose? Those fish, those nets were capable, I'm told, of holding half a ton or 1,000 pounds of fish. Now, that's a lot of fish. But how many fish slipped out because the net broke? So, well, preacher, they still got to experience the blessing of God. They still got some fish. Yeah, but what if they had obeyed God and let down all the nets? See, here's the thing. We get so caught up in our Christian life and we say, well, I think I know a little bit better than God. So God, I know you told me to go all the way with this. I know you told me to throw everything in one, put all my eggs in one basket. But God, I just don't know that I can do that. So God, I'm going to keep some out over here and I'm going to put it over here and I'll give you these. But God, I can't give you everything. That's not what God asked for. God asked for everything. See, if you're going to serve God and I'm going to serve God and we're going to experience the blessing of God on our life, guess what? There cannot be anything held back.
Yeah, amen.
We have to give it everything. Here's the thing. I said it Sunday, this past Sunday, we was in a church and I said, I'm one of those kind of guys that I just like to do big things. I don't like doing little things. I like doing big things. Why? Because here's the thing. If I can do something big, and I'm a big dreamer, and I like dreaming big, and if I can dream big, and I can say, God, I believe you want me to do this. God, would you show me how to do this? And then God does it. Guess who gets the glory for it? It ain't me. It's the God that did it, because he's the only one that could have. I look over here, and y'all forgive me, I do a little bit of online detecting via Facebook and things of that nature before I come to places. We used to call it Facebook stalking. We don't do that no more. It's called online detective work now. Okay? But I walked in this evening and I'd already looked at the college and I'd already looked at the church and the school and all different kinds of things. But then I walked in this evening and I saw that. Now, can I just be honest with you? That intimidated me. You got a goal of $500,000 to go to Faith Promise Missions. And you're already well over halfway there. And then I looked over here at this one, and there's a goal of $200,000 to restore the two-story Landmarks Museum, whatever that is. But then it's a $200,000 goal, and it's already over $50,000. You know what those two boards are a result of? Somebody saying, God, we want to dream big. When's the last time you heard of a church taking up a $200,000 offering? When's the last time you heard of a church doing big? Hey, we're in 2022. Don't you know God can't do things like that anymore? I mean, you know, inflation's at, I think I saw today it's at 9.4%. The federal, whoever it is fixing to raise the interest rate again. Trying to slow inflation down. They want it at 2-point-something%. Well, stop giving away free money and it won't be there. Sorry, that ain't in my outline. But here's the thing. We're in 2022. Inflation's almost at 10%. We can't give $500,000 to missions. You know what that right there is? That's whenever you had your Faith Promise Missions Conference and God put a number on your heart and you said, God, I don't know how, but God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to dream big this year. And God, I want the blessings of God on my life. You said, preacher, it's not commanded. No, but here's the thing. The Bible still says God loveth a cheerful giver. You know what? If he loves a cheerful giver, imagine what he thinks about a grumpy one. God forbid we be a grumpy giver. Here's the thing. You know how I get to run up and down the roads? You know how I get to go into prison? In the last year and a half, something like that, God's privileged me to be able to see 16 or 17 different people get saved by the grace of God. But you know how I got to do that? Because God's people said, you know what? We're going to dream big with you. We're going to trust God with you. We're going to partner with you by faith that God's going to use you to do something great. Somebody that's from the backside of nowhere that nobody even knew your name before you started in missions. God's going to take you and God's going to do something great with you. Here's the thing. All I want to do with my life is I want to throw out all the nets. God, let's just go all in. Let's just do everything we possibly can. Why? Because there's 7.9 billion people in this world that's dying and going to hell without God, and they need somebody that throw out all the nets. Amen. You see the cats, the action, they let down the net, the affirmation, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, the aggravation, the net break. Now, I don't get to go fishing nowhere near as often as I'd like to. And if you like fishing, you don't either. But you know what? I was reeling in a big one the other day, and I know he's a big one. You say, preacher, how do you know? Because I just know. I know he was every bit as long as my arm, and he was going to weigh every bit as much as my leg. And guess what? I got him 15 feet from shore, and my line snapped. Man, you want to talk about aggravated. Here's the thing. I can't even swim, and I debated jumping him after him. I said, preacher, would you have got him? Probably not, and I probably would have drowned in about 3 foot of water. Here's the thing. I can identify with this aggravation. Why? Because I've been there. How many times has God said, hey, I want you to do this, and because we didn't go all in, yeah. We suffered the aggravation on the outside of it. We see the aggravation. Can I give you this? The aftermath, verse number 7. The Bible says, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ships, that they should come and help them. And when they came and filled both the ships, so that they begin to see, preacher, they're getting the blessings of God. Yeah, but hold on. If they'd have let down all the nets, that load would have been equally distributed. And nobody would have been sinking. See, here's the thing. God knows more than what you and I do. And God knows exactly what we can handle and what we can't handle. And God knows how to push us further than what. Here's the thing. Can I just be real honest? In my flesh, I don't know how many prisons I can handle. But I tell you this, I've got a goal of being in 12 by the end of this year and 18 by the end of next year. You say, preacher, can you handle that? I don't know, but I'm trusting God that he's going to give me the ability to be able to do it. We see the contrariness, the command, the catch, number 4. We see the consequences. They lost out on the fish. Their net break. Go with me real quickly to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 11. Let me give you this and I'm done. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Many of you could probably quote this verse and I can too, but I've noticed that if people can see it with their own two eyes, it does something that just saying it can't do. Hebrews chapter 11, everybody there, say amen. Right, some of y'all's lying. Okay. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. What does the first phrase say? But without faith, it is impossible to what? Please him. Go to the next part. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek him. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Can I tell you this story and I'll be done? Several years ago, I was like 10 or 11 years old at the time. My dad I was raised in a home where we was tortured and made to do dishes and made to do all kinds. I mean, we had to clean our rooms. Oh, what horror. I might have to have a therapist. But anyways, I mean, we was forced to do manual labor. But at 10 years old, my dad said, hey, I want you to go in there and I want you to, my dad's former military, served several years in the United States Army. He joined the military at 18 years old. And here's why he joined the military, because he was tired of people telling him what to do. I don't understand all that. But anyways, my dad, he had this rule. He told you one time and that was it. You got one time. And if you didn't do it in the one time, I'll let you figure out what took place. It's spoke of heavily over in the book of Proverbs. Okay. My dad walked in there. He said, now, listen, Matthew, I want you to go in here. I want you to wash the dishes. I want you to dry them, and I want you to put them away. We didn't have a dishwasher. We was the dishwasher. Amen. He said, I want you to wash, dry, and put them away. I said, all right. I started washing them up, and, man, there were several dishes there, and I started washing them up, stacking them in the drink. Here's the thing. We didn't play Jenga as a kid to learn how to do that, to learn how to put blocks back over. We played Jenga as a kid, so that way we knew how to stack a dish drainer. Amen. Hey, I learned how to do it real well from playing Jenga. Anyways, here's the thing. I stacked the dish drainer up real nice and neat and everything. And then I went to start drying them and putting them away. And I started putting the pots and pans away. Because, you know, that's the last thing you wash. After you've already washed the plates and the cups and the silverware, then you wash the pots and pans. Because then your water doesn't get everything else greasy, right? That's the way I strained anyway. And then you better wipe the counters off and sweep the floor, take out the trash too, amen? Flashback already. But anyways, so I was 10, 11 year old. I thought, you know what? I started drying the pans and I went to put them away. And I decided for whatever reason, I didn't like the way those pans was put in that cabinet. So at 10 or 11 years old, I got this big bright idea. And you know what? I'm going to take every one of those pots and pans out and I'm going to rearrange everything and I'm going to put it back in there. My dad come in about 2 minutes after I started my project. And I had pots and pans sitting everywhere. And he looked at me and he said, Matthew, what are you doing? I said, well, you told me to wash and dry and wash, dry, and put away the dishes. I said, so that's what I'm doing. He said, no. He said, that's not what you're doing. He said, I never told you to reorganize the cabinet. He said, why are all these pans all before? I said, well, I didn't like the way it was in there, so I decided I'd redo it. He said, is that what I told you to do? I said, yeah. I said, you told me to wash, dry, and put away the dishes. He said, but I never told you to reorganize anything. He said, go to the bedroom. And whenever we got to the bedroom, he made a statement that I've never forgotten. He said, partial obedience is still disobedience. Here's the thing. Peter, whenever he let down the net, he obeyed God, right? But he disobeyed God. Because he only let down one instead of all. Can I tell you this? I don't know where you're at in your Christian walk. I don't know what God's wanting you to do. I don't know anything about anybody in here. All I know is about me. But I know this. If I'd have said, well, God, I tell you what, I'll go with Rock of Ages and I'll work prisons from the south. And I'll drive to New England two days one way, and I'll work prisons up in New England every other month or so, and then I'll drive back down south where I'm comfortable at. God would have said, partial obedience is still disobedience. Yeah. 2 years ago, we loaded up our family and we left everything and everyone we'd ever known to move to a place where we knew one family. And that's our pastor. And honestly, we didn't even know them that well. They didn't know us that well. They probably wish that they didn't know us that well now. But here's the thing. If I'd have done that, here's the thing, I still would have been working New England prisons, right? But I wouldn't have been obeying God. God said it's time to go. Can I ask you a question this evening? What is it that God's asking you to do? What is it? Let's go. I don't even know what the word is. Why? Let's go wide to start with. Let's talk about the church as a whole. What is God asking this church as a whole to do? What is God asking each Sunday school class to do? And here's the thing, newsflash, it will never go against the word of God. Another newsflash, it will never go against the pastor. Everybody okay? We live in a society where, oh, well, we'll just run him off because we can get a new one next week. What does God want this church to do? What does God want you as an individual to do? Maybe God wants you to take that step of faith and up your missions giving. Maybe God wants you to take that step of faith and say, you know what? I can give a little bit more of an offering every week. I can commit to give a little bit more to this project over here so that way we can get that done. So that way we're an honor and a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ and we don't look bad in front of Haines City. I don't know what it is. But whatever it is, can I encourage you this evening? Don't miss the blessing of God in your life. Let down the nets. Don't hold back. Don't say, well, God, I know that missionary came in the other night and he said, well, you know, he did this for me and he did that for me and he da 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 da. But God, I'm not a missionary. Here's the thing. Can I just be blunt, honest with you? I am nobody special. Just because I'm a missionary doesn't make me any part of any higher echelon of leadership or anything like that. Here's the thing. You have the same access to God that I do. It's just I choose to use it more. Because here's the thing. When you're driving up and down the roads and you're paying $3.50 for a gallon of gas, you choose to use it too. Right? But here's the thing. We so oftentimes miss the blessing of God in our lives. Why? Because we do not fully obey God. What does God want from you tonight? What is God saying? Hey, I want you to let down your nets. Not just one. I want you to take all your eggs out of this basket over here. And I want you to stop divvying them up. And I want you to put all your eggs in my basket. And I want you to let me bless those eggs. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to give me to stand and preach your word. Lord, I don't know the hearts and lives of those that are here, but Lord, you do. And Lord, I pray that you'd take this message, Lord, you'd use it for your honor and your glory. Lord, I believe I've said and done everything that you wanted me to say and do this evening. Lord, I thank you for liberty. Thank you for the touch. Thank you for the power that you've given me to preach this evening. Lord, I pray that you bless as a preacher comes to close this service however he sees fit. Well, thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
If you would, let's quietly stand to our feet with our heads bowed. There we go. I'd like to thank Brother Frank for that message. And folks, if you need to deal with God tonight, come on to the altar and do that. If you need to move a membership, or if you're here tonight and you're without Jesus as your Savior, the first command is to accept Christ. We just read the verse, without faith it's impossible to please God. And that first step of faith is accepting the Lord Jesus as your Savior. So if you're here tonight and without Christ, I beg you to come on down and accept Christ before it's too late. Brother Bert's going to lead us in a couple songs of invitation.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. Decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will. Turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back.